Today's scripture is from Acts 1:8 and Romans 10:14 and 15. But you will receive power when the Lord's Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the fleet of messengers who bring good news. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I wonder if you've ever had an experience where you felt like that your attitude all of a sudden adjusted. I wonder if you've ever been on a trip or you've ever been to a place, a specific mission, where you feel like your mind changed towards these people, towards what was going on in front of you. I wonder if there was a mission, a trip, an event that you went on that just entirely changed your life. My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are continuing in our series here at Palm Harbor as we continue to focus on our vision or our identity moving forward. This is our identity. If you were to cut us through the middle, these are the things that you would see. The first is the vision, and we're all going to say it together so that you all know what it is. And the vision here at Palm Harbor is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you are getting used to that. Good job. Now, the way that we do this, the way that we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ is through five values. And you're going to say them with me as they come up on the screen so that you know them. Some of them have already said in our announcements. Some of them have already communicated by people standing here. And we're going to say them, if you're new today, this is who we are, and these are our values, how we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. Say it with me. Open-hearted generosity. The next one is excellence in Christian development. Good, getting louder. I'd like to hear it. You guys are gradually waking up. The next one is commitment to missions. So it's not, sorry, my fault, continuous focus on the future. And then the next one is commitment to missions, and finally, passionate participation. Today, we are focusing on our commitment to missions. What is it about missions that helps our attitude change? What is it about being committed to missions which gives us a change of mind or a change of heart? What mission, what trip, what event have you participated in that actually changed your entire life? For me, it was when I went on a trip to Cuba to visit the church that my church was adopting, or that was a sister church to, in Cuba. And it was Segunda de Bayamo in Bayamo in Cuba. We supported Pastor Adelma down there. And Pastor Adelma was a wonderful, beautiful, humble man. And him and his wife led the church in Cuba. And we went down. We had a relationship with them, and we supported them. So six of us went down. By the way, the mission of the focus of this particular vision is that we care for our communities. We care for our communities through mission and service. We push through obstacles and boundaries to connect people to Jesus. We push through obstacles and boundaries to connect people to Jesus. Now, if you've ever been to Cuba, anyone ever been to Cuba? there's obstacles and boundaries, right? There's obstacles and boundaries to get into Cuba. Not only do you have to pay the Cuban government for the things that you are taking into the country, not only does it take a lot to, do I get a religious visa? Do I get a worker's visa? Not only are those obstacles and boundaries in place, but it's actually physically getting on a plane to Cuba and arriving there in one piece. The team, six of us, went down to Santiago. Bayamo is in the south of the country. Bayamo is the Santiago is on the southeast, and we flew in to Santiago. Like I said, we'd already paid the government for our cases and the things that we were taking, and people gave loads of gifts so that we could take with them. We went to Santiago, and when we got there, they emptied all of our cases for us, which is kind. And they looked through all of our cases and through the Bibles that we'd taken to see if there was any documentation in there that would disrupt the government. I remember thinking, are we ever going to get out of this airport? All I could hear was the squeaky carousel going around that brought our luggage in. I'm like, oh, there's so much pain. Am I ever going to get out of this airport? Thankfully, after some of the people who were in our party being questioned, we managed to get outside the airport in Santiago. The Cuban bishop was there to greet us with open arms. Our driver was there to greet us, and Pastor Adelma, and they were so happy to see us. Thank you so much for coming. We're so happy that you came. Here's your ride. Three of us are going to fit in that. It was this small car, which I was like amazed that we were ever going to get fit in there. And they put our cases on top of the car, which is like Jenga and Tetris all combined together on top of the car. Obstacles and boundaries. It wasn't over yet. The car was not air conditioned, and we bounced across every hole all the way from Santiago to Bayamo. 5-hour journey. We made it. We made it to Bayamo. We got to Bayamo, and the congregation were open arms. Oh, we're so glad you came. Thank you so much. And we find that Pastor Adelmar is living in this small house with his wife and two children and his mother. And they live in this small house. And then the backyard was converted. Think half the size of the lobby out here. His backyard is converted into the church. And then the pictures he's been sending us, we've been sending him funds, and that's what he's been doing. Converting the church. Oh, and worship. Worship was amazing. We got there and they sang and sang and sang all sorts of songs, did interpretive dance. They preached a lot longer than me. You guys got it easy. It was a joyous occasion. And it was I noticed there was a bit of a pecking order with the worship instruments. There was a keyboard about half the size of this red one over here. There was a cowbell. Dunk. Dun, dun, and there was a tambourine. And that was how they led worship. And I noticed one time that there was a kid, and he had the tambourine, and he's hitting the tambourine like that, and the pastor looks down at him. Give me the tambourine. He takes the tambourine, and the pastor gets the tambourine. Everybody knows that the pastor gets the tambourine. But these people were so happy to receive us. They passed around the basket for the offering, and everyone's singing and cheering. We've got money, thank God. And there was little cards on the wall where each person's name was and whether they tithed that week. We're going to do that in the lobby out here. Just kidding. Wednesday, we go for the great event that we come for, baptism. By the way, I'm going to invent something here. And if you don't like it, you don't have to join in. If we say baptism here, I want you to cheer loudly. So, you ready? On Wednesday, we went for baptism. Woo! Yeah, you guys are good. That's good. We went for baptism. I had no idea. I had no idea. I've got to watch you when I say it now. I had no idea what I was going to expect when we went down there. I had no idea what we expected. And all of a sudden, a great big truck turns up. I'm not talking like a V8 truck. I'm talking like a big military truck turns up. Everybody, every man and their dog gets in the back of this van, and we go down to the Bayamo River. And we get down to the river, and everybody piles out. They've got the cowbell. They've got the tambourine. They've got pretend keyboard. And 25 people, apparently I was involved in baptizing people too. And 25 people were baptized that day in the river. And they were so excited. In fact, they were that excited that a congregation member had been down at the river since 5 a.m. roasting a hog for the Americans. And it came to the great event. Everybody got in the water for baptism. And when they got in, they sang this song. And I'll never forget this song. They got in, they started to play the instruments. They started to get excited about who was going in. And they sang, Recibe el poder de lo alto. Recibe el poder de lo alto. Which means, receive the power from on high. And they went on, receive the power from on high and let yourself be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let yourself be baptized. Recibe el poder de lo alto. And they just kept singing it and singing it and singing it. And as everyone went in, the pastor said, Shush! I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Way, receive it. That event, that trip, that mission changed my perception of the Cuban people. That trip, that event, that mission changed my understanding of what $1 can do in Cuba. That mission trip, that event, that baptism event changed my life forever. What event, what trip, what mission have you been involved in which changed your perception, which changed your attitude, which changed your entire life as an event that you'll never forget? Now, it's clear here at Palm Harbor, we go on mission. We go on mission trips, and we do three types of mission here at Palm Harbor. We go on global trips. We have our own church in Cuba that we also support. We have a church in Matanzas, Union de Reyes, and Pastor Amado is down there, and we support him, and you guys have been supporting him for a while. We have two missionaries that we support globally, and we have Operation Christmas Child, which goes across lots of different nations. There are global missions. And then we have regional missions where we take care of those in need. We have a children's home, Florida Children's Home, that we support, that you support really well here. We have disaster relief. We have people who give to those who don't have during storms. So, global, regional, and as we just heard, we also have local. We have places that we can pitch into, that we can give into here in our community, and Giving Hope is one of those local missions that we lead. But what's the foundation for going? What is the foundation for going on a mission trip or for having a mission? Is it just so I can tell you fun stories? Is it just so that I can enjoy the event and share that with you? Here's the foundation. It starts here. But it also starts at the beginning of your Bible. We're going to open it to Genesis chapter 12. If you've got a Bible today, open it to Genesis 12. The first book in the Bible, Genesis. If you've got an app, now's the time to open it. Open up the app, just type in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. We're going to put it on the screen for you as well, but you might want to read it along with me. This is the first time God the Father, tells anybody to go anywhere. This is the first time that he tells Abram, the founder of our faith, a founder of our what we practice, and he tells him this. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. And go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, this is a foundational text. This is in Hebrew scholarship, in Old Testament scholarship. This is a toledot. This is a place where everybody says, oh, this is a foundational point. This is what we're foundationing our Christianity on. So he says to Abram, go. Go. He doesn't know where he's going. He gets in his caravan, the caravan of people. It wasn't just him and his wife, but it was a whole group of people, a nomadic life, and they go south. They go south from the northern country, and they go south. He doesn't know where he's going. I'll tell you when you're on your way, says God. But when you go, I will tell you to be what? A blessing. A blessing to the people that you go to. So no matter where you're going to go, you're going to be a blessing. Now that word there is barach or baraka. Baraka or barak. Now barak means blessing, of course, but it also means some other things. It means that you are to be a gift. A gift to people. You are to look for excellence in a person. I like that part. Look for excellence in a person. Benefit the land that you are going to. Benefit the land that you are going to. So that's the foundation. That's the foundation when you go on a trip. So this begs the question, when you go on a trip, now those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, those of us who want to follow Jesus and his teaching, we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and we share that with other people. We share that blessing. And this begs the question, if you are in a land, if you're in Cuba, if you're in Helping Hands, if you are in the children's home, you ask yourself the question when you are there, am I being a help or am I being a kiss? Am I being a blessing? Am I giving these people gifts or am I hurting people? Am I not helping them thrive? Am I not seeing excellence in people? So that's the foundation. That's the foundation. Be a blessing when you are going on a mission trip. When you are part of a mission, you are a blessing. That was Abram who became Abraham. That was his blessing. So the foundation for going on any mission trip is that you're a blessing. You got it? What should we do? What should we do? Now, we're going to skip forward. By the way, you're going to have to follow along with me. We're going to skip around the Bible a little today. We're going to skip forward all the way from Genesis, all the way to Jesus' teaching at the end of Matthew's gospel. At the end of Matthew's gospel, you might have heard this scripture before. If you haven't, don't worry about it. We're going to read it together. Matthew chapter 28 is on the screen as well. This is Jesus at the end of his time after the resurrection, and he is coming and telling the disciples what they should do. So these are the people that have been with him for the last 3 years, the ones that are sad that Jesus is getting out of here. These are the things that Jesus says to his disciples, his followers. And he says this to them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And sure of this, I am with you always into the very end of the age. So we have our foundation. Now, what should we do when we go there? Make disciples. It didn't say be a disciple. It didn't even say build this. It didn't even say help them fix this. It didn't say go there and like rearrange the whole system so that it'll be just like your system back home. He said, make disciples. Make them as an active word there. So make a pathway, make a pipeline, create a place where people can grow in their faith and become better disciples. So that's the first thing. And while you're there, baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus doesn't say, he says, I don't care whether you put a sign of the cross on the head. I don't care if you scoop up the water and throw it on the head. I don't care if you do it here. I don't care if you do it at Sunset Beach. I don't care if you do it in River Bayamo. I don't care if you get the little font and you put the little water on top. I don't care. Just baptize them. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, baptize them. Got it. And then teach the disciples. So after you baptize them, teach them. Teach them my teaching. The teaching that you've heard these last 3 years, teach that to them. Teach it to them and show them what I have taught you. And if you teach them something else, that's something you've made up and it's not my teaching. Amen? That's the what. The what is Jesus is with us when we do this, amen? Jesus is with us when we go on mission. Jesus is with us when we go and proclaim Jesus and when we make disciples. So the foundation is be a blessing. The what we should do is to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we're to teach them to follow Jesus. So that's the foundation. This is the what. And the next thing is where. Where should we go? Now, we're just going to skip forward just a little to Acts of the Apostles. The first chapter tells us where we should go. Also, just after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples are sitting there like, what are we going to do now? What the heck's going on? Jesus appears to them. Jesus appears to them. In verse 8, he says this, you will be receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive Holy Spirit. So we heard from the Father what our foundations are. We hear from Jesus. Yeah. And now Jesus mentions the power of the Holy Spirit. And says, through this power of the Holy Spirit, where are we to go? Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria. That was the known world at the time. And then he says, go, like a little disclaimer, go to the whole earth and tell them about what you now know. Tell them, go as far as Holiday in Florida. Go as far as all the way down to Key West. Go even to Tallahassee and tell them about Jesus and the amazing power that's at work in your life. Amen? Go. Go to places that need to hear about Jesus. Don't go on your own steam. Don't go because you think it's a good idea. Don't go because you've never been to that country before. It'd be nice to go here. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit, because if you go in any other power, it probably won't work. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling within you. And go and teach them the things I've told you throughout the whole earth. The Holy Spirit has been at work in one of our young people's life. As you know, here we have a focus on the future. And one of our interns this summer, our pastoral intern, Eleanor Erickson, is going to share her story, how the Holy Spirit is at work in her life and how she feels she has been called to missions. I'm going to let her tell it yourself. Here's Eleanor Erickson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eleanor. I was the pastoral intern at Palm Harbor United Methodist this past summer. I had such an amazing experience being a pastoral intern, so thank you to all who just made me feel so welcome in that position. It was so much fun. Growing up here at Palm Harbor, thanks to our continuous focus on the future, I have always enjoyed mission trips. Going to Immokalee twice in my youth were both really great experiences for me, and now, in this new season of my life, I feel the Lord calling me to missions. As I started to discern my call being towards missions, at the end of my internship, Pastor Kathy said to me that college is the greatest mission field and the most unique that you will ever experience. And I really took those words to heart. I'm very excited for these next few years that I'm gonna be able to reach an audience of peers that I'll never have the opportunity to reach again in the same way. So throughout these next few years, as I finish my degree, I'm gonna be very focused on that, with local missions, trying to share the gospel with people my own age who may not necessarily want to hear it. I feel called to missions locally because I think evangelism is something each Christian needs to focus on. And evangelism is such a scary word, but basically just to share with others, to witness to them and say, this is what Christ is doing in my life and this is what he can do in yours. And I think that people who may think they know the good news of what Christ has done don't really know it, or they might not have necessarily embraced it in their own lives yet. So reaching those people should be at the forefront of our minds every day.
Amen. What Elena didn't say is that she is going in November, and she's been raising funds in November to go to a despairing place that has no idea about the gospel, that needs some real hope to understand who Jesus is. She's going to London, England. Seriously, people need refocusing and putting on mission and understanding who Jesus is. Amen? So Eleanor is going globally. She's going across the pond to another country. Your funding towards missions, when we have missions of the month, go towards a global mission. They go towards helping Pastor Amado in Cuba. They go to helping our missionaries that are in North Africa and Japan. They go to helping people understand the gospel. You all know that regionally you have supported disaster relief, hurricane relief, especially those in Louisiana that have just gone through a really tough time, and you are renowned for doing that, and I'm thankful for you supporting both the children's home and any disaster that comes upon our state. So we have globally, we have regionally, and we also have locally. Now, you heard briefly from Giving Hope Mission. That's one of the things that we do here. We're also very involved in PAKASAK. And those of you that are a part of that, thank you. But I think most of all, it's best if you don't hear from me, because I don't know. I'm the new guy, yeah? I would love for you to hear from one of our avid volunteers and avid local missionaries, and that is Jim Miller. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jim Miller. I've been a member here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church for about 5 years. One of the things that attracted us to this church was its commitment to missions. Over the past 2 years, I've been involved in a couple of key missions here at the church. The first mission is the PAKASAK program. This program provides food for a weekend for a child who is in need. This is done here in Pinellas County and is a local mission. The other mission I participate in is the food drives. I provide food. The great thing about these food drives is that they, in turn, provide food to the food pantries. The food pantries are all religious-based, and based on that, the Word of God is spread throughout our community. Jesus taught his disciples to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. He also taught them to take care of the needy. By taking care of the needy, we are not only helping them, but we are also spreading the Word of God through our actions. It has taught me to be a cheerful giver of my time, talent, and money. In Deuteronomy 15:10, it says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all you undertake." So because we freely give, we are blessed. Because we are blessed, we are able to freely give. What an awesome God we have.
Amen. Yeah, you can, yeah. So we know the foundation is to be a blessing and to seek excellence in other people, to be a gift to people. That's the foundation. We know what to do. Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know where to go, which is anywhere, by the sounds of things, wherever we can. But why? Why? Why go? Because it's fun. It makes you feel better. When I give to other people, it makes me psychologically feel better. When I give money that I am able to give, it makes me feel good in my own life that I'm helping somebody else. Is it because I'd like to go on that trip and experience the Cubans and some of the things that they go through that I haven't got? Does it help us, form us to be better people? Sure. But that's not why we go. We're going to turn to Romans. This is our last scripture for the day. Romans is where Paul is teaching. Rome is where he has sent a letter to. This is where he communicated the gospel the most. In fact, Paul is known most for this scripture and this particular book of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. Answering the question, why go? He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So why go? So that people can hear. Not listen and be able to hear. Some of us have a hard time hearing, but want to hear well, hear in our heart. Paul's saying, nobody's going to hear by just throwing Bibles at them. Nobody's going to hear by just throwing a check at them. Nobody's going to hear unless you go. Go because we want people to hear. Go because there are people out there dying to hear the message of the gospel. There are literally people dying right now, and they would just thrive if they had a blessing in their life. And I'm not talking a financial blessing. I'm talking about being a gift in their life, about looking for excellence in their life, about being a baraka. And when we go and do these things, when we go and do regional missions, when we go and do local missions, when we go and do global missions, we go looking to be a blessing. We go looking to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we have that in our heart, when we have that in our heart, people will hear the good news. People will hear it here, people will hear it here, and people will hear it there. Amen? You want to go? You want to come with me? You want to go to a place that's never been heard of the gospel before? Some of you, for some of you, that'll be locally. For some of you, that'll be regionally. For some of you, that will be across the other side of the world in a strange country. But at Palm Harbor, this value is core to us. It's core to who we are. And if you would like to be a part of this, let us know. Let us know and speak to Pastor Kathy, or write it on your little card in front of you in the pew here today. Let Pastor Kathy know, yeah, I want to go. I want to go and see the power at work in other people's lives. And go knowing that Jesus is at work in your life. And when you go, then you come back and you're like, oh, wow, I was blessed as well. Oh, that's a bonus. I seen a baraka in my life. And I live to tell the tale. Here at Palm Harbor, we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ through having a focused commitment to missions. And we do that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Holy, precious Lord, come to us today anew. Stir up our hearts. Stir up this Holy Spirit within us that we might be a blessing, a baraka to other people in other nations. Help us, Lord, to be a globally minded people. Help us, Lord, to be a regionally minded people where we bless people that are in need at this specific time. Help us, Lord, to go from here being people on mission locally. What are the needs of our community and how can we address them? Show us, Lord, and help us to be a blessing in this nation for your name's sake, to make your name great, to make your name holy. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.